This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, 5 minutes past one here on the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9. I am Pete Dillon, and today we are getting charitable. We're talking about coffee and charity and all sorts of wonderful things. You're going to really enjoy this show, so pop yourself back in the chair, get away from IKEA. We're almost ready to go. Yes, we are talking cravings. It's 1:05 here on a Saturday afternoon. Pete Dillon with you, taking you through until 2 o'clock when we go travelling. But first of all, we need to get through an hour of this show. It is a food and wine program, and I'm very pleased to have in the studio four wonderful guests, each of whom has a different story to tell. But we're all ultimately getting to the same end. This is about altruism. It's about charity, and it's about people doing very good works. My first guests in the studio, Rebecca Scott, and with her is Aaron from Street. Hello, Rebecca. Hello, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi.
Aaron, a little closer to the mic. I don't believe Beck will bite you.
We're good friends.
Street is... Well, you tell me briefly what Street does.
Oh, we're a social enterprise, and we provide training and support to young people who often have come from being homeless. Mm-hmm. And we run three cafes around the city and a coffee roastery where those young people get training in our cafes.
Excellent. And some very good news. You've just released the first cookbook from Street.
We have. It was very exciting. It was a very big labour of love. We were producing it for a big chunk of last year, but it's just hit the bookshops now, and it's a beautiful thing.
Excellent. Also in the studio is Marcus Godinho. He's the CEO of Fair Share, and he's here to talk about Share Lunch and Fight Hunger. Good to see you, sir.
Likewise. It's been a while.
It's been a very long while, but tell us, obviously there's, we'll talk a bit more about Fair Share and what Fair Share does a little later, but this Share Lunch campaign is a very simple idea. What's it all about?
It's a really simple concept. We've started the Feed Melbourne campaign about 5 years ago, and as part of that, what we're encouraging businesses right around Melbourne to do is, on one day in April, take our brown paper bags, the old traditional sandwich bag, and hand it out to each of their staff members and for them to donate what they would ordinarily spend on lunch for one day. And when you extrapolate that out, because charities can do so much with just a few dollars.
Yes.
Exactly. It makes a lot. And for every dollar that's donated, it's matched by the Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation.
Oh, good on Robert Doyle for doing that. Also in the studio, and this is something that's come to me in the last couple of weeks, I'm excited about this idea as much as I am as the other two. This is the Suspended Coffee Society. Essentially, well, Declan, welcome, first of all.
Thanks for having us on.
Give us a very brief one or two lines about the Suspended Coffee Society. What is it?
Okay, it is a pay-it-forward system. Basically, you go into your local cafe that's supporting a suspended coffee, you purchase one for yourself, pay for a suspended coffee, and that's held for someone in need. They'll come in and redeem that. Very simple, nice, easy.
Now, last update on Facebook, there were 21 cafes on board. Have you got any news?
Two hit today. We're just waiting for the details to come through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're 2 weeks old today, the Facebook page. 1,800-odd likes, and we've got 23 cafes on board.
Wow. By the end of the show, I'm hoping we can bring 5 more on board for you.
Good target.
I know there are people listening that own businesses that would be... I'm sure, incredibly supportive of the idea.
And you might even twist our arm.
Great.
Well, I know just on Burke Street here at Subway, they listen to this program every week. So if you're listening at Subway, you can be next in offering suspended coffees. And there's a place over on the corner called Mr. Close, just in behind the Telstra shop, corner of Burke and Swanston. Supply probably half the staff around here with, or half the volunteers around here with coffee on a daily basis. So we will go and tap them on the shoulder and get them on board as well. There's two of the five.
Thank you.
My work here is done. I can go now. I wanted to bring you all together because I think that the stories that we're going to share today are all about doing good for other people. And I think that's all got to come from somewhere initially. Where's it come from for you, Beck?
Oh, look, I'd like to say it's pure altruism, but it's equally for me the challenge of trying to find business models that can scale to address the size of the problems that we've got. So I've got this incredible frustration that every census comes around and the homeless numbers keep going up and up. There's another 20% this last census. And we've just got to find solutions that are far bigger. So it was really about trying to think, how do you build a social enterprise model that could scale and start to address the scale of the issue?
Because it's 105,000 Australians every night?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Sleeping rough. It's an extraordinary number.
It's the MCG. Mm. You know, it's MCG completely filled on, you know, on grand final day. And, you see that number of people together and you realise the scale of it. And it's just extraordinary to think. But, you know, for most of us, it's fairly invisible. But that's a bloody big problem.
And when we define homelessness, it's not people sleeping under bridges. It's people who are couch surfing. It's people who don't have a permanent residence.
Yeah, so it's all the precarious types of housing. It could be anywhere from sleeping rough through to, you know, accommodation in boarding houses, rooming houses, through to caravan parks, through to, you know, refuges. It's a whole range. So it's anyone who's sleeping in highly precarious housing and doesn't know where they're going to be, you know, fairly soon, that's considered homelessness.
Mm. We're going to come back and hear a story from Aaron after we go to our first break and have a bit of a track, because Aaron's story is quite lovely, and there's a recipe in the cookbook that I believe Aaron needs to tell us about. So we will do that very shortly. Marcus, where does it come from for you? What drove you into this sector? Because you worked for Big Oil and all sorts of stuff, didn't you?
Yes, I was working for Mobil and National Australia Bank, and I did the whole MBA and the corporate thing, and mm-hmm. I was getting out of bed in the morning, and there was just no pep in my step. It didn't float my boat. And I actually got drawn into this sector through the environment movement.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading
for
about
EA, didn't you? Environment
for Environment Victoria. Yes. So with the Australian Conservation Foundation and the Wilderness Society and Environment Victoria. But what I found was this wonderful little concept called Fair Share, and I started volunteering with it on a Saturday morning. And a really simple concept: food that farmers, that supermarkets, the manufacturers were throwing out was being rescued by Fair Share and being converted into a kitchen in South Bank at the time, and then given out to charities for free. And being a wog, I love my food and I love cool. It's Melbourne. Hey, we love our food.
I like the course overall because you're Portuguese.
Portuguese, yes. Very good. Mm. And so I was drawn to the concept. So I'd go down once a month on a Saturday morning and help out in the kitchen. But what drew me in was the fact that food takes so much water, so much diesel, so much land to produce, and we waste those resources when we throw food out. So loving food, loving cooking, and also having that environmental attraction to the concept brought me back in. And then I learnt about people who are homeless and the working poor and people doing it tough.
We'll come back and talk some more about Fair Share as an organisation and this idea of share lunch. Declan, you've also come from a big corporate position that you're probably still in, and I guess this industry is very new for you. What's driven you to get on board with this particular idea? Because this started in Naples, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. Probably about 70 years ago, they started this, and it's really only come to fruition around the world in the last 3 or 4 weeks. 2 weeks ago, some friends of ours were sitting, we were having coffee, of course, and chatting about the idea. That was Good Friday, and on Saturday, my partner Jet and I decided that we'd say, okay, should we do this? And then we decided, yeah, let's do it. So yeah, 2 weeks ago, we started the Facebook page, and
here we are.
Here we are.
They're all inspiring stories, and I'm wanting to unpack them a little more. We have a message for you already, Declan. Fascinating idea with suspended coffee. I love the idea. Coffee is truly something that makes your day better, for me at least. Love the show, Matt. Thank you, Matt. I think coffee makes my day better. At least it makes me function. It's 14 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. We'll have a little message. We'll have a little track that I think fits the theme, and we'll come back and talk some more. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
It is Joy 94.9, 19 minutes past one. That track was Shine by Cyndi Lauper, something that we all can do, and we can do it very, very easily. 0427 Joy 949, if you would like to send a message. I've got another one to read out that is probably less than kind. 1300 Joy 949 is the phone number you can ring and speak to. I believe Heath's on the front desk. Have a chat to him if you've got something to tell us. You can email directly into the studio on air at joy.org.au, or you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. A message has come in from an anonymous person who says suspended coffee is half the price in America and bottomless. Why does Australians get ripped off with expensive coffee prices? It has nothing to do with suspended coffee, sir or ma'am. It has to do with a market economy. And if you can't afford to buy somebody, or you don't want to buy somebody another coffee, then don't. That's your choice. A story that I want to hear is all about bread and butter pudding. In the studio, first of all, I have Declan here from the Suspended Coffee Society here in Melbourne. Marcus is here from Fair Share talking about the Share Lunch program. And Rebecca's been talking about Street and what Street do. And one person who has been the recipient of what Street do, whose life has been changed, is Aaron. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us your story, Aaron.
Well, probably about 12 months ago, started the Street program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and loved it.
How did you get to the program? How did you find it? Who sent you there?
One of my youth workers from a refuge.
Mm-hmm. And what did it provide you? What did you get?
A qualification and, yeah, heaps of friends.
One of the recipes in the book, and on page 90 for those of you that would like to have it, is a recipe of your grand's.
Yep.
Why did you choose this recipe?
Because it was a fond memory. My nan used to always make it for me every Sunday night. And she actually passed away probably about 30 months ago now. And, I just wanted to make a memory of her.
A very nice memory it is. How much has Street had an impact on how you live your life every day?
A lot. They've taught me a lot of skills. A lot.
Rebecca, this must be a very warm feeling when you hear this sort of thing.
I guess for us, we see we're up to, I think, about 60, over 60 young people come through the program. And what we see is these guys walk in the front door on day one and often so shy and often, I would say, you know, probably lacking quite a lot of confidence. Lots of our youth have left school pretty early. And so embarking on going and getting a qualification and going to TAFE is quite scary. And often the steps are quite incremental at the beginning, but if I just wish everyone could see the before and after and what these guys can do in a cafe always astounds me, you know, that these guys are pretty skilled in making coffees and, you know, doing amazing things in the kitchen as well by the end. But it's not just the skills that you see change over that time. Often I think the most important thing is these guys often develop a kind of confidence in their own abilities to do stuff. So we've got young people who have left and gone on to become fully qualified chefs or now going to uni but using, you know, their hospitality skills as a stepping stone. So we actually don't care whether or not a young person stays in hospitality, but for us it's about teaching some skills that could be stepping stones to other stuff, but also trying to get young people the best opportunity that they could have to make up for some of the opportunities that they haven't had prior to us.
Aaron, are you still in hospitality?
Yes, I am.
Where do you work?
Do the Gala Hotel in Flemington.
Excellent. Full-time?
Yep.
In a kitchen?
Yep. Oh, no, bar.
In the bar. So what's the dream? What do you want to do?
I'm going to become a qualified chef.
Yep. And have you started thinking about how you're going to make that happen?
Yeah, I have. I'm Charcoal Lane. I'm starting a course with Charcoal Lane probably in about another 3 months, 4 months.
Yep.
And, do my qualification with them.
Yep. So. And Look out world. Look, there are a lot of chefs that listen to this program. This is a program for foodies. And I know there are a great many of them out there listening. And if you are listening and you want to give us a hand, you want to give Street a hand or either of these other programs, you can let us know, 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au or you can tweet us to cravings_joy949. This book is beautiful, by the way, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about it because it's recipes from graduates. Can I call them graduates? From
trainees.
Trainees, yep. From the program. Marcus, you've got a slightly different skew. How do people get involved? You said there's a 6-month waiting list for people to get involved as a volunteer with Fair Share.
It's remarkable. Yes,
it's crazy.
Well, we've been running kitchens. We were nomadic for our first 8 years or so, going from kitchen to kitchen wherever we could. And when we settled down in Abbotsford with our own dedicated Fair Share kitchen, we were able to ramp up from one shift a day to two to three now. We have about 200 to 250 volunteers help out each week with us.
Yep.
But there's around 300 people on a waiting list who want to become regular volunteers. Every afternoon we have a corporate group that comes through and does a team building session with us, and that's booked out 2 or 3 months in advance. So I guess what's really heartening for me, because so much about Fair Share is the community of volunteers and people involved, is that in 4 weeks' time, we'll move to what I reckon is going to be Australia's largest charity kitchen. In fact, it's going to be 2 kitchens under the one roof.
Wow.
And we'll produce around 20,000 meals a week from rescued food. And that's going to open up the possibility for so many more people to lend a hand in the kitchen. So for all those foodies out there, get in touch with us because there'll be a chance to get involved.
There will be. And what percentage of your funding is from government?
Zero.
I thought as much. Declan, let me move to you because, again, I guess hearing these stories of organisations that have now been going a number of years, it's got to give you some sort of a sense of you've got to be excited about what you can now achieve with the Suspended Coffee Society.
Absolutely. Yeah. As I said, we've been around 2 weeks, so we're probably the baby or the very infant child in this puzzle. Mm. And it gives you great hope that all we need to do is make sure we keep moving it forward and keeping it fresh. And you know, if we're here in 10 years' time, I'd be delighted. You know, 5 years' time, I'd be delighted. The thing with Suspended Coffee is that it is so simple. Anybody and everyone who wants to, they can.
And I'm sure that we're going to encourage people who have a regular cafe that they go to every morning. I know I do. And when I'm in there tomorrow morning getting our coffees, I'm going to be talking to them about this campaign because it's so simple. There's no cost to an organisation to do it.
No, the cafe owners, all they'll need to do is just monitor the suspended coffee so they have a process on how they get the money paid for the suspended coffee. And then they really just need to keep it visible on how those suspended coffees are recorded in the cafe. Some people have got huge blackboards. Some people are putting coffee beans in a jar. Some people are putting bottle tops. They're scratching notes on the wall, all sorts of things. So that's an individual thing. And we get feedback on the Facebook page every day about how many coffees are there. There's probably right now maybe 500 to 600 coffees waiting to be redeemed.
And I want to talk about who redeems them and how. I've got to play a couple of messages and we'll come back and talk about how people can redeem those coffees and where they come from. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, your favourite food show. It's 27 minutes past one here on a very gloomy Saturday.
Joy 94.9.
Hello, we're the Kransky sisters on Joy 94.9.
Marcus, you have to stop talking. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, 29 minutes past one, I'm sorry. 0427JOY949 is the number for an SMS. I'm interested to hear from you. How do you support your local charity? What do you do? What's your giving program look like? 1300JOY949, you can ring and speak to Heath, who will relay the message and he'll run in here with it. You can email onair@joy.org.au or you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. And the reason I want to know is because if you've just joined us, we are talking about all things charitable and charitable to do with food. I have in the studio Declan Jacobs, who is the person behind Melbourne's Suspended Coffee Society. Marcus Godinho, who is the CEO of Fair Share, and Rebecca Scott with Aaron, who Rebecca is the CEO of Street, and Aaron is a trainee who has gone through a program who has just shared a bit of his story with us. What's next, do you think, for you, Aaron?
Getting my qualification.
Yep. And where might you have been had you not been sent to Street?
Homeless. and probably jobless as well.
Okay, I'm fascinated by your story, and we'll talk more about it off air, because I think I know the right people that can probably help you as well. That's one of the joys of knowing so many chefs and cooks and restaurant owners and stuff, that there's somebody will be interested in working with you. And I think it may be sooner than the 3 months that you're going to wait for Charcoal Lane. And we'll talk about that off air. Declan, we were talking about how people can access, or who can access, suspended coffees and how they can access them. So it's a pay-it-forward system. So I go into my local cafe, I buy my coffee first thing in the morning, and I can buy another one, which, as you say, a coffee bean in a jar, a bottle top, whatever, however they record them. Who then has the opportunity to access those coffees?
That's a really good question, and we do get asked that question a lot on Facebook. What we've said to the cafe owners, there's only really a couple of rules and you have to abide by these. The big one is, if anyone comes in and requests a suspended coffee, i.e. do you have any suspended coffees, there's no judgment. The cafe owners or the staff are not there to decide whether you're deserving of a suspended coffee. Right. They're to give you one. That's it. Simple. If people abuse the situation, that's possible that's going to happen. And human nature, people are possibly going to do that. But the cafe owner and the staff don't get to judge. It's a simple process.
You would assume those unscrupulous folk would be few and far between.
I would hope so. Yes.
And I'm assuming that if I'm having a tough week and I'm out of cash until payday, and I'm in need of a morning fix, and I just don't have the $4 because I need to buy a loaf of bread to make a sandwich or something for lunch, that I can go in and simply ask.
It's really, you're the one to decide whether you're in need. No one else. Basically, you decide. And then what you would then do next week is, because you've redeemed one, you should go and buy two.
Fair call. It's a very good idea. I'm liking this idea more and more. It moved from Italy into Bulgaria, which is one of the poorest countries in Europe. How does it work? There's obviously got to be a certain amount of rich people to provide coffees for the many poor in Bulgaria.
You would think so. I haven't done a lot of research into the Bulgarian side of things, but in Naples it's worked incredibly well, and we are, I suppose, a little surprised how well it's taken off in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth. They're all societies up and running in each state now. Mm-hmm. It's just basically people get the idea, they understand it, and they know that they can do something about it, because it's very simple.
And the idea is so simple.
It is. It's you know, like you said, you go to your cafe across the road tomorrow and you ask them about suspended coffee, it'd be interesting to see what they say. Because I've been in a couple of cafes just yesterday. We were doing some filming, and I was sitting there observing. No one knew who I was. Mm. And a lady came in and she bought a coffee for herself, and she actually paid for four. I said to her, how did you find out about this? She said, a friend of a friend told me about it on Facebook, and off I went. And she said, I thought it was a good thing to do.
I found out about you through a mate of mine. She about a couple of weeks ago, she said, get onto this suspended coffee idea. Thank you, Carol. I had a look, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you before now, and I'm so glad we've got you in. Have you dealt with agencies like Street, for example, where you've let people know that these coffees are available? Because if there's 600 coffees sitting there, there's obviously 600 deserving people who could make use of them.
Probably more. What we've done is, we always knew that the redemption part of the process was always going to be slow and a little difficult. So what we thought was, how do we get the word out? And not necessarily ourselves, how do we get the word out? So we've gone to a lot of the agencies, and we now provide a weekly update. Now, on that weekly update is a list of all the cafes that are currently providing suspended coffees, a rough idea of how many are available at that cafe, and then just a quick rundown of how it works for them. So that what we don't want is someone to go into a cafe and feel inadequate, judgmental. We don't want anything to take away from the actual concept.
And I guess it's for some people there is probably the issue of pride.
Yeah, true. And look, a needy person, like you've just explained, doesn't necessarily have to be a homeless person. It can be someone who just has no cash, is desperate to have a coffee. It could be a mum with kids who can't afford it. It could be someone who's
probably
been
need
redundant.
It more than the rest of us.
Absolutely. So,
Marcus, you want to ask a question?
One of the things we set up when we established the Feed Melbourne campaign was what the pointy heads called a geolocator. And what people can do is go into the website and put in their postcode, and it finds local charities that are handing out food relief around the traps, close to them.
Good idea.
And so I wonder whether if your cafes could, that are participating, jump on the Feed Melbourne website, put the postcode in, and then it would list local charities, and they then could get in touch and say, hey, look, just letting you know, perhaps this is what we're doing with suspended coffee. Where in your local area would you like to let your clients know to come down and get
great
a coffee?
Great idea. Yeah, absolutely.
So
great
a way of idea. Using that facility.
Yeah, we're actually launching a website hopefully next week, which is Suspended Coffee Society. SuspendedCoffeeSocietyMelbourne.com. So yep. anything we can put on there would be fantastic.
And so if you can grab that database of yeah. charities and use that, then it's that's a wonderful way of getting out to the clients.
Yeah, because it's really, we thought, who is going to get the message out to the people? And it is going to be those agencies.
But it's also going to be, you've chosen the perfect tool. Social media can send stuff viral in minutes. We've seen, you know, pictures of cats go around the internet in seconds. And have hundreds of thousands of likes. So it's not difficult. People can find you on Facebook. Type in Suspended Coffee Society Melbourne. Very easy to find, and at least start to like as well, so that you can get involved. Aaron, how would you have gone when you were without home? Would a coffee have made a difference to your day?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. You know, you're a man of few words, aren't you? You're challenging me today. You obviously, Rebecca, work with a lot of kids who are disadvantaged. Mm. I think it's fairly simple to say. Will you take this idea back to your clients or your youth?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it was our second class of young people that started, and we realised quite quickly that even though we had a whole bunch of young people in our program, many of those young people, even once they had enrolled in the program, had really large food security issues. Mm-hmm. So we actually started a program internally, which was a basic nutrition program, how to feed yourself for under $10. But also,
it doesn't involve going through a drive-thru.
Well, it doesn't involve scrounging food out of bins, you know. So often we're starting with such enormous food security issues, but wanting to try and teach the young people how to nutritiously feed themselves. So how do you make a great meal for under $10 for you and the other kids in your refuge, for example? Mm. Basic life skills. You know, we've got young people who come to us having never tasted a piece of fruit, or just even knowing how to cook. And we're a hospitality organisation. Mm. So what we did is really quickly started to use the facilities and skills that we had to be addressing the food security of our young people. But certainly knowing other places around the city where our young people could access, you know, is terrific. Mm. It's great. And the biggest spread, you know, our programs are all here in the CBD, but our young people often, you know, come from way outlying suburbs, Geelong. You know, they might be travelling a couple of hours to get to work. So, you know, cafes and other, you know, other groups that are working in some of the locations where they might be housed makes a really big difference. So the bigger that spread can be, the more powerful it is, you know, for a community that's disadvantaged.
Look, these stories are just are incredible. I think the fruit you're talking about, fruit, the fruit that tastes the best is the fruit that you pinch off somebody else's tree, provided it's hanging over the side of the fence.
Were you the one that stole our olives recently?
No, absolutely not.
Mm.
When I was a kid,
our whole tree got taken. Every
really?
Single olive off our tree got stolen.
I don't even know where you live.
I'm not telling you.
No, don't, because I do care for olives. When I was a kid, I used to get across the road from the school. There was a woman who had this massive almond tree. And I used to go and sneak over there after school and climb up the fence and shake the tree so all the fresh almonds fell off the tree, to the point that I now can't eat almonds because I ate so many as a child. My father used to give me a hiding. And then we'd go and pinch oranges off people's trees as well. Scary. Marcus, the establishment that you're about to go into, this commercial kitchen, is it a commercial kitchen?
No, charitable kitchen.
Charitable kitchen. What's the difference?
Well, I guess one's for profit and one's not for profit. Mm. All of the food that our volunteers cook are given out for free to charities. Mm-hmm. So I guess we have to pay the bills,
yes.
But we raise our money through other innovative ways.
What are the things you need most to keep a fair share working properly? You've clearly got a Brazilian volunteers because people are on a waiting list to volunteer. What's the thing that's missing? What's the ingredient that's going to the next thing?
For us, the priority is about collecting food that would otherwise go to landfill, food mm-hmm. that is perfectly fit for human consumption, but for whatever reason, businesses throw out. The two ingredients which we need most to expand to 1 million meals a year for charity are meat
yep.
and pastry. So since we started working with Woolworths supermarkets, we've been able to get access to a good source of meat, but it's not enough. And we work with Boscastle. Every day we go and pick up about 60 kilos of offcuts of pastry from them.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps us to make egg and bacon pies, quiches, sausage rolls. Great food for when you're working with people who are living rough. So meat and pastry are just essential for our kitchen. The other thing's money. And that's why we've started the Feed Melbourne campaign. That's why we're asking people to get involved through Share Lunch, Fight Hunger, and encourage them to jump on the website and help out one day this year in the workplace.
We have an email here that I think I should share. This is from Chris. Thank you, Chris. G'day, Pete. Loving your work, as always. An interesting show. The other week, you focused on hospitality careers for the youth. I'm retired military and would love to start a career in cooking. Always been a bit of a foodie, but would like some formal training. What would you advise? A share sounds like a good way to develop some skills. Currently doing menial part-time work, but desperately need full-time. And at 47, I believe I still have much to offer the workforce. Any guidance or direction would be greatly appreciated. Chris, I'll answer that offline, mate, because I think, again, I can direct you in the right way. And another SMS says, America has great food under $10. Once again, so ripped off in... Oh, here we go. Whoever you are, if you're not willing to put your name to your messages, don't send me any more through this program because I won't like them. It is 18 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. We'll be back for another 20 minutes of charity before I go out and buy some coffee.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Rob Mills. I've done Idol, I've done Wicked, I've even done
The Royal Daltons on Joy 94.9.
Oh, I buggered that up. Hang on. Well, let's try that again because we didn't want Rob Mills, ladies and gentlemen.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
That's what we wanted, Gabriel Gatte. We didn't want an announcement for the Royal Daltons. They're on, I don't know, Wednesday afternoon, drive program, 4 o'clock. You can listen in then if you would like to. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It is 12 minutes to 2. We have 12 minutes left remaining before... Joe and Mark come in and talk to you all about travel on Escape Pod, a new program. I'm sure you will enjoy the indulgence that they share on that travel program. Today I'm being all altruistic and charitable and talking about things that I think are more important than good bottles of wine and meals at nice restaurants, which are, you know, they are important to some of our lives, but there are things that are far more important. Our mystery texter, the person who keeps sending grumpy messages, has named themselves. Thank you, Mark, for naming yourself. Still, cease with the grumpy messages. I'm in no mood for them today. In the studio, I have Declan from Suspended Coffee Society. I have Rebecca from Street. I have Marcus from Fair Share. And I have Aaron, who is a recipient or involved in a training program with Street. And we're all talking about good things that are happening, but... I guess I'm going to get to some nitty-gritty now. Marcus, I asked you what you needed. Rebecca, what does Street need to continue doing the work that you do and to keep providing opportunities for young folk like Aaron?
We're a bit similar to Marcus in that we get virtually no government funds. So he gets 0%, we get 2%. So we are desperately trying to build a business model that has lots and lots of customers coming through the door, and those customers are essentially, you know, help the engine drive everything. So what we need is people to come and eat meals and have coffees with us, because that's the thing that pays for everything. So when you come and have a meal or coffee with Street, all of the money that goes back into our programs to help young people like Aaron. So it's not a percentage, it's, you know, it's everything that we have is about, you know, changing young lives. So
where are the cafes?
We've got one in Flemington. That's our biggest cafe, so on Racecourse Road. It's a beautiful cafe. I was there this morning. I've got another one on MacKillop Street, a beautiful little laneway just off Little Collins, and then Melbourne Central, so down the GPT has that. So those three little locations are feeding, you know, thousands and thousands of people every week. But the thing I would always say is, you know, each of us have about 80,000 meals in our lifetime. And you start to think about if, well, you guys get 80,000, I get 85,000 because I'm a female and live longer. sorry, Dads. it's well, true. But what it means is as a person who eats regularly, all of us have an ability to start to bring about change just with the little ways we, you know, we choose to spend our dollar. I don't know if any of you saw today in The Age, in the Lifestyle magazine, I think it was page 5 different social enterprise cafes featured this morning, and really good examples of, you know, 5 cafes around the city where, you know, every meal that you're buying is making a difference to other lives. So I guess I'm a passionate advocate for people making simple little choices. I mean, what Declan's trying to do is, you know, a simple thing for someone to do. Buying one extra coffee a day, you know, is a small thing for most of us.
Bugger all.
So I'm those accumulated, you know, decisions that you make across a lifetime, though, really start to add up. So I'm a big, I guess, advocate for start to do the little stuff, you know, day by day, and that adds up over time.
Indeed. Declan, there's some very sage advice that's come from this discussion today, I think, that you can take on board as you build the suspended coffee society. What do you need? What's next? You obviously need more businesses on board.
Yes, we do. We've got a target of 200 cafes throughout Victoria, which should give us a bank of over 1,000 coffees at any one time. I suppose the biggest thing we need is people's attitudes to change. Just think that, yes, you can make a difference. Don't just sit there and go, well, I can't do anything about it because it's too big. I don't have the money. I don't have the funds. You can. It's really simple. Change your attitude. Go to your local cafe. Ask them. Get them on board. Get them on the Facebook page. We've got lots of... We've bought stickers for the windows. We've got pictures we can send you. I can send you a brief of how it works.
How is all that funded? All the stickers and all that sort of stuff?
My partner and I, Jed, have funded that so far.
Okay, beautiful. So if you are listening and you have a local cafe where you get your coffee every morning, go in and talk to them about the Suspended Coffee Society and how you can make a difference in your little local community, and it's cost less than a cup of coffee a day. I think that slogan actually belongs to another not-for-profit agency, doesn't it?
Maybe.
We won't go down there. So that's what you need. What's the wish for, obviously, if I can wave a magic wand, what's the wish for each of you as far as the enterprises that you work with? What's an end game? Any one of you can go.
Sure. For Fair Share, it's... look, I believe, and maybe this is a pessimistic outlook, that there will always be people in our society who fall on hard times and need a helping hand.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, with hundreds of charities around Victoria that are handing out food to people in need, then it's for them to have as much food as they need to support anybody who turns to them for help. And given that we throw out the equivalent number of dump trucks full of food that would span between here and New Zealand and back again 4 times a year in Australia.
It is outrageous.
There is no shortage of perfectly edible food. It's just the means getting it from those businesses to those local charities that are helping people who need a helping hand. So,
indeed. Rebecca, what's your end game? What's your wish?
At the moment, we're putting through about 25 young people in our program.
Yep.
But the big goal is 1,095 young people each year. And why I say that is a very specific figure. It's the number of years the number of meals we each have a year. So I want us to get to a point where every single meal we sit down, we are changing another young life and taking another young person off the streets. So it's a symbolic number, but it's a big stretch goal, you know, from 25 to 1,095. But I just love us collectively as a society and as a group of people who say something has to give. We have to change this, and we've got the power to do it through the little choices that we make every day, that every single meal collectively we sit down and say, this meal I'm going to make a difference.
It's perfect. We have a message. This is from Anastasia Mu, we call her. Loving the show Panayoti, which is my name in Greek. Just made some faki, which is a Greek lentil soup. No, I'm not swearing. And it cost me just under $10, and I'm feeding 4 Greek hungry kids. These are fantastic organisations, and thanks for showcasing them today on Cravings. Cravings hugs from Guchengs. Thank you, Anastasia, for the message. I love hearing from her. She's a presenter here on Joy. So we're coming to the end of the show, folks. What's the wish? What's the end game, Declan?
Look, just listening to you guys, it's if we can be here in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and just making sure that it does continue. You know, a lot of things start well and they don't continue. Our objective is to make sure that we put as much effort into it as we have in the last 2 weeks and just keep it going. And hopefully we can just make a small difference every day by doing what we're doing.
Excellent. Somebody has just sent us an email saying, listening to the show and heard you talking about charity, hoping you can give this event a plug. If I could open up the documents, I would probably give the event a plug, but I'm struggling to. We'll have a look at that and maybe we'll put it onto our Facebook page on Cravings later on. Sorry, I can't open that. But it looks like you're doing something charitable, which is a very kind thing to do. And that's what we are all about. And more spam email. Guys, I've got to go. Thank you, Declan, for coming in and talking about Suspended Coffee Society. Like I said, five cafes by the end of the day is my goal, to bring them on board. And, of course, I will be going to buy some coffee and leaving a great deal behind. Marcus, thank you. Continued success with Fair Share, and I hope that list of volunteers keeps growing and growing and growing.
Thanks, Pete.
Beck, thank you for coming in and talking about Street and showing us this beautiful book. And Aaron, thank you.
Thanks.
It's been a joy to have you all in. I'm going now. Thank you for joining me. I'll be back next Saturday on this very station at the same time with another show all about probably something slightly more indulgent. But thanks for listening. Cheers.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.